This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Many of you folks may be hearing us for the first time. This is the Voice of Truth Network that we're coming over to radio missions out of New Orleans, Louisiana at one time. And now, because of Hurricane Katrina, we were relocated to Walker, Louisiana, which is about 90 miles from New Orleans. It's out in the country. It used to be where I was born and raised, out here on a strawberry patch. But now as towns grew up, we're about 15 miles out of Baton Rouge, which is our state capital. And we are what we call a bedroom community. But now folks are moving out here, getting back out of the city. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. But this is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. And we're bringing you these studies on faith. We've been here for many, many years now. And on the Old Trailblazer Broadcast, Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. started this broadcast back in the 50s. He was a gracious man. He depicted himself as a circuit rider. Those old circuit riders, they would put their Bible in their saddlebag and their old pistol there on the side, in case they run across a snake or a wolf or something back there in them woods in those days. And old Pastor Trailblazer used to have those sound effects where he'd sound like he was clumping the horse. We don't have those things, no. I'm just here in this little studio by myself. I don't have no executive producer and executive whatever. No, I'm the only executive here. But the Lord is here with me. And then, of course, Satan is here with me day in and day out. Every now and then I have to spray my little old room here and get Satan out of here. Spray him a little bit. Get him out of here. But we're back here at this time. We're bringing you this study on Moses, the faith of Moses. And we saw that his whole life was shaped by an invisible God, by faith in an invisible God, based not upon feelings and dreams and visions and emotions, but on the covenant, the promises of that covenant, God's eternal word. Your faith isn't worth a snap of your fingers, my friend, if it doesn't rest upon the body of divine truth. I hear some of these folks on the radio, turn your faith loose, turn your faith loose, turn your... No, that's not worth a snap of your fingers. Then I heard a leading evangelist, so-called, and say one morning early, I was going to work, and I had radio on the broadcast, and come on, and he said, well, if my mother would have had any faith at all, she would never have died. I like to fell out of my seat. That man was an intelligent man, learned man. And I said to myself, I just talked back to him. I said, what in the world are you going to do with that scripture that says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment? You see how folks twist the scriptures, my friend? People believe that man, flocks to him like flies after honey. But anyhow, listen, if it doesn't rest upon the body of divine truth, it's not worth anything. I can't stress that too much. I just can't, my friend. But in our last study, we didn't have time to go into another phase of that praying for the sick. I wanted to just look at that for a moment. Many folks write me and ask me about that. Do we pray for the sick? And I say, surely we do. So I want to look in James 5, 13, 14, and 15. And I believe I see some new light here on that subject. I have steered away from it for a long time. Maybe when going in and studying it, I believe now I can clear the matter up for every one of our hearts and minds. That is God's word, and it's being practiced today. That is God's word, my friend, where it talks about the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Now go back, take a time out now. Go back to your Greek, and you will find here is a literal translation, and the prayer of faith. The faith refers back to the body of divine truth. Now all of this racket, all of this jumping up on the basis of emotionalism and all of those things, praying for the sick, praying for healing, that's all of Satan. It is, my friend. Prayer that is answered, prayer that God honors, is based upon the body of divine truth. And you can't get away from it no matter what you do. Now that means heart searching, doesn't it? That means repentance. That means confession of sin. That means forsaking of sin. That means resisting, resting your whole life. That means shaping your whole life after the body of divine truth. Now, we'll just give you a little something else to think about here while we have time. But that's what Moses did. Therefore, he's endured. Look there at verse 27. He endured as seeing him who is invisible, and had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, if you go through your Bible, take that word endure or endured, you'll be amazed at how many times it's used. That those that endure to the end shall be saved, according to Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13, and Mark 13:13. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. All of the Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not all joy, happiness, shouting, having a good time, speaking in tongues, jumping around. No, there comes a lot of suffering, trials, heartache. Do you know where we learn, my friend? Through suffering. Through suffering. All of us, those of us who know the Lord, suffer many things. We may not complain about it. We may just keep our mouths shut. I suffer immensely as being the pastor of this work because I see folks whom I love dearly, friends, my family of friends, those friends of mine have children. Many of them are not saved. They're romping and stomping around the world now, bordering, getting close to sin as they can get, walking on the thin ice of sin. And I suffer over those things. It's not physical pain. It's mental pain, my friend. Oh, I've seen the late Pastor Shelton suffer like that, and I didn't know what he was talking about. But, my friend, it's not a pleasant thing to be the pastor of a church where their souls are going out into eternity on a regular basis. Oh, my friend, listen, we don't want to face reality. Our folks here, folks under this ministry, don't want to face reality. Do you know that if you face in reality, before you leave your house this morning, you'd get up and ask the Lord to protect you through in the day? You truckers out there, before you leave the terminal over there, wherever you fill up, if you trust in the Lord, if you want to know the Lord, you just take a break there and ask the Lord to guide that wheel down the road. Keep staying between them white lines. Oh, my friend, we suffer because many of our folks are not trusting the Lord. And then we're not doing anything as a witness. Oh, I know what the world calls witness. So I had a man wrote me a long letter and criticizing me and tell me that I didn't know this and I didn't know that and I wasn't preaching the truth and I wasn't doing that. And I hardly ever answer those kind of letters. I just file them away. But I felt led to answer this man. And I wrote him a letter, just a kind, simple letter. And I tried to write where he could read it, because I have a terrible handwriting. I just told him, "Mister, I appreciate your writing, even though you're critical, but I just want to ask you, has anybody ever asked you if you're saved? Has anybody ever asked you, do you know the Lord? Have you ever looked in front of in the mirror in the bathroom and asked the Lord, Lord, am I saved? If I go out into eternity tonight, will I go to heaven? I just wanted to be true to that man. I did, maybe to make him think. Did you know we're not doing that enough? Our folks are not doing that. I hardly ever go to a funeral. But what I first right off the bat, when everything gets quiet and the music stops, I just turn to my audience and I say, folks, let me be true to your soul. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Lord and Savior? I'm not talking about did you join the church back there when you was a child. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and shouting and cutting up. I'm not talking about that. I'm asking you, is Christ a living reality to you? You lay down tonight in your good soft bed. Can you look up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving this poor old sinner? Can you do that? I asked you, can you do that? Can you do that? I want to be true to your soul, my friend. I'm standing between the living and the dead day by day in this little old broadcast and others that I go to, other services that we have here, preaching the gospel. Folks ask me, folks write in here and ask me, what do you preach, Pastor? I say, we preach the gospel. We have a mission statement that I have typed up about 3 pages. If you write me, I'll send it to you, telling you what we most surely believe, my friend, maybe to shed some light on. We just poor old sinners saved by grace. A fellow wrote me the other day and said, quit telling me that you're a sinner. Well, I am a sinner saved by grace, just an old saved sinner. I wonder if you've ever taken your place as a lost sinner. But listen, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. Oh, but listen, as I told you, the Christian life is not a bowl of roses and a bowl of cherries. No, sir. There comes that time of trials and heartache when folks turn their back upon you, when they criticize you, when your best friend turns upon you and say, I won't hear you no more. Don't send me no more of your literature. I don't want to hear it. That's suffering, my friend. That takes a time. There's that depression. Down in the valley, suffering. But what happened? What happened? Who enjoys? No, I don't, and I'm sure you don't. But there comes that time of enduring. There comes a time when Moses had to endure. He endured, that's what the scripture says, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He looked forward. He didn't look at his daily experiences. He didn't look at his daily suffering. He says, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then 25th verse says, choosing rather to suffer. Oh, my friend, you and I don't suffer enough, do we? We don't suffer, my friend. We don't. Oh, we don't suffer, but we're not molded. Our lives are not molded and made and shaped with the all that we have today, every convenience that you have, everything that you, for enjoyment, my friend. Oh, but listen. Then he gave up. He gave up his sonship. But listen, there's that act of giving up, refusing, relinquishing. It's not just turning over a new leaf, not making a decision for Jesus, and then being baptized. None of that, my friend. I wish you'd just, let me just ask you to do this. You just pay attention to some of the radio preachers or maybe the television preachers and see what they have to offer, my friend. You don't hear them speak about the Lord as being their Lord and their Savior. No. I was watching one night. We was in a motel somewhere, and I had to turn the TV on to see, and one of these TV preachers, he had a little message going. In a little while, he had the camera to come pull right up to his face. You can, his nose almost touched the camera. And he said, I need to talk to you. He whispered. He said, I need to talk to you folks. Like he didn't want nobody else to hear. He said, I need some help. Oh, I need some help now, some financial help. And I know you're going to help me. My friend, what a put on. What a come on. Oh, my friend, listen. I know what they did back years ago when my mother was still living. She got that literature from those folks. And I would tell her, Mama, don't send them people any money. Don't send that fella any money. They'll send her a glossy picture with an autographed glossy picture and all that bull. But my friend, all they're saying is, send me some money. Send me some money. You know yourself, old Trailblazer hardly ever mentions money. And yet, I think it's important to mention it. And I asked my folks last night in the service, are you faithful in your giving? Are you? Are you faithful in your giving, my friend? I believe the churches need to be supported. The pastor needs to be supported. I don't take a salary from here. Many of you know that already. But I'm not saying that your pastor, if you got a good pastor, a faithful and true pastor, you better support him and give him a good living. Not overboard. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. He don't need a Cadillac when he can drive a Ford. No, sir. But listen. The old Trailblazer gotten away from the subject this morning. Folks, sometimes tell me they like to do that. But I wish you would write me and let me hear from you. Many of you folks hear me for the first time, and let me know if that's happening. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. But my website, radiomissions.org. And help me with the broadcast, if you will. Pray for me, and come see me when you can. Goodbye, and God bless you.